Built on a strong foundation of document management, that's Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. With extensive consulting services and self-developed business applications, your business is assured of total document solutions to suit your needs. By understanding customers' business environments, we aim to solve document management-related issues. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or email info@dza.kyocera.com or visit www.kyocera-documentsolutions.co.za.
Hello everybody, welcome to the final edition of the AfriCast for 2019. My name is Brendan Lotz and joining me in studio today is Robin Chetty.
How's it going?
And Clinton Matos.
Hello everybody.
How you guys doing?
Almost there.
I hate saying that though, because I know some people who are not getting any break, they're just powering right through. And then you say, oh, I can't wait for the break. We're like, well, actually,
I don't get any break.
Yeah. But then some of those people are also taking their
holiday. I mean, I did the same thing. I mean, I worked at Look and Listen during holidays. It's an absolute nightmare. So I sympathize with this. At the same time, I'm happy I'm not doing that.
Why do they play the music so loud at Look and Listen?
Well, they don't do it anymore. They're gone. But I don't know. It's about creating a vibe.
I honestly can't tell the difference between Look and Listen and Musica. So when I walked into one or the other, I was just like, okay.
Musica is always dark. Well, that's what I remember. It was always dimly lit.
There's one in Sandton that is dim, and it's also got a really low ceiling. So it feels like you're in a cave or something.
Funny enough, there is actually still Musica on the West Rand in a mall called Key West.
Yeah, there's still music in
my goodness.
The side of the province.
Yeah, I think now they just sell, it's all about accessories now.
Yeah.
No, they don't really sell music anymore.
Well, I mean, there are CDs to buy. I just don't know if anybody buys them. Anyway, we're getting a bit sidetracked here. So as it's the end of the year, we actually took some time out and we've actually prepared a bunch of stories for while we are on Christmas break. We are actually closed from Friday, the 20th of December. It is the 20th, yes, the 20th of December through to the 6th of January. So we will not be covering daily news and that sort of stuff, but there are a number of features that are going out over that period. So don't unfollow us on Twitter or Facebook, please. I don't know if anybody does that over December.
I've never once unfollowed someone for posting too little. It's always the opposite. You post too much, then you get unfollowed.
So just keep a lookout. And we're actually just going to run through some of the stuff that you can expect, starting with Clinton.
Hello, everybody. So I have two stories around Reddit. So it's going to seem a bit strange, but it's about cats and dogs. And I don't mean raining. I mean literally cats and dogs. So a lot of times people ask me, you know, what's the most popular content on Reddit? And like every other site in the world, it's animals. I thought, yeah, see, thinking of something else. No, it's animals.
I was thinking it was r/r.
I was speaking to the audience. So something Reddit is famous for is that it's extremely specific. So you could go to a subreddit, if you like cars, right? You just go to r/cars.
Yeah.
You could look at cars, right? If you like video games, it's r/video games. Whatever, whatever, whatever. But the thing about the pet subreddit is for some reason they get extremely specific. So I'm just trying to find my list here because I have a list of like 30 of them. For example, there's a subreddit called Cats Named Toothless. So it's about cats that look like the dragon Toothless from... what's it? Not Dragon Rider.
How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon, yeah.
Dragon Rider.
What's Dragon Rider?
I don't know. Dragon Rider is actually one of the first CG animated shows from a while ago. Anyway, there's one called Drill Cat, which is when you take a picture of a cat while it's shaking its head so it looks like a drill. Here's a good one. There's one called Kittler, which is about cats who have a little bit of fur by their lip so they look like Hitler.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's just the cat ones. I haven't even gone to the dog one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write about ones for cats and ones for dogs. And this is something entirely that people have asked me for. So, you know, give the people what they want. And I spend too much time on Reddit anyway, so I might as well turn it into something productive for society, if you call that productive. So those are two of my stories. Another one I wrote about is actually something from last year, but it's something I had no knowledge of. So in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, they make a joke where Spider-Man had recorded a Christmas album and I thought that was just a joke, but they actually released an album. So it's not a huge epic. It's only 5 songs, and each of the songs are pretty short, but they're real songs. They are recorded by the voice actors who were in the movie, not like knockoffs. Like when there's a show based on an animated movie, they get people who aren't the real celebrities to do the voices. No, it's actually them. And you should listen to it during Christmas. I suggested that people go into the like family Christmas playlist, if you have such a thing, and over Christmas put some of these songs in and see if anyone notices.
Yeah. Should be a refreshing change of pace from Boney M, probably.
Yeah. So the last one I did was, it's my top 10 3D prints from 2019. I didn't do like a whole end of decade thing because there would just be too many to cover. So yeah. I did my favorite from 2019. I chose 10, and for anyone who doesn't know, we have something called the 3D print of the day where on most days we have the favorite print that I found out in the wild, usually on Thinkverse or my mini factory. And I don't just, you know, grab the pictures and then say, hey, look how cool this is. I actually get in contact with the people who make these prints and I say, you know, what software did you use? How long did it take you to do the model? How long did it take to print? What did you do for finishing work? What did you do for painting? Yada, yada, yada. And I put all the information in the story. And for this end of year wrap up, I took my 10 favorite ones and you can check out that list.
Cool. Robin, what have you got for us?
I got a few different ones coming out over the holiday. But I think probably what I'm most interested in is around the kind of 5 tech terms we don't want to hear in 2020.
Oh, yes, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I edited that story for Robin. I don't know if you're going to reveal what they are, but I knew which one was going to be on there and it was the first on the list.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
4IR.
Of course. How did you know?
Yeah, I had a good
I know laugh. Because like just yesterday I had an email fall in my inbox that just went full IR. And I was like, wow, okay.
Can someone who's good with computers help me write a script where my Gmail would just delete those emails as they come in? Or look for Industrial Revolution and that 4IR and just delete the email.
Yeah, so I guess I think also it's important to say that this kind of story, it's about tech terms you don't want to hear in 2020, but probably will hear still a lot of. So 4IR is one of them. Other terms you'll probably hear, you'll hear about sustainability. That's a big one that companies are espousing.
Everything is sustainable.
Yeah, but I don't want to give it all terms. It's worthwhile for a nice kind of chuckle. I think any tech journalist will kind of sympathize and kind of also recognize
that. If you follow any tech news, I think you will appreciate it.
It's also a good litmus test if you're on any site and you like do a control left on the front page for any of those terms. You'll be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be here. maybe they're just reposting press releases.
it's just, I guess, a little tongue-in-cheek about what we kind of had to cover this year. What the important people that think they're important are talking about.
Yeah.
Just a little fun story.
Fun story. Right, and then I think the one that I kind of want to highlight is, there's two. So my 3 favorite phones for the year, they're pretty obvious, except the third one, which I think is a little bit weird for people, considering how many smartphones there are. This is actually a feature phone. I'm not going to tell people what it is. You'll have to wait for it.
Yeah, I edited it, I think, and it's probably... It's not just purely based on specs and performance.
Yeah.
It's a bit more utility, I think.
Well, that's what I try to do. I think we've reached a point in smartphones where it's very much apples to apples comparison. Like, you can compare an iPhone to a Samsung.
Yeah, there's a template now.
Yeah, there's pretty much like a template. And if you stick to that, you're pretty much making a decent smartphone. So I think next year, I hope to see a bit more innovation. I mean, I say that in the year where we had folding smartphones, but I mean, they're not really that widely available. I'd like to see more innovation at the normal level, you know, it's called sort of the mid-range. And then the second one that I want to highlight is the biggest blunders of 2019, or what I consider to be the biggest blunders of 2019. Obviously, I have included Eskom because Eskom.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have to say more than that. Load shedding in March.
Imagine the whole story was just the word Eskom and you didn't write anything for context.
I don't know.
And the headline says top 10 or whatever, but yeah, it's just Eskom. One word, Eskom.
Then I also touch on the US and Huawei controversy that happened this year that kind of left Huawei in the lurch. And then I also touch on WeWork and their former CEO, Adam Neumann.
Really? Never heard of him.
Never heard of him, neither have I. I also touch on what Neumann did and why he was such a shining figure. Crazy in 2019. Absolute madman.
Mad lad.
No, not mad lad. That's for good things. This guy is just mad. Pure. End of story. But yeah, okay, so be sure to look out for all those stories that are coming out between the 20th and the 6th of January. Mm-hmm. And then we will be back on the 6th with business as usual. But before we do that, we want to chat a bit about some stuff that's going on in the world that we think that you should know about. Clinton.
Before the year finally dies, we have a new Star Wars.
Yes.
My lord.
Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Another Star Wars? I thought The Mandalorian was the movie that
Is
everybody
that what
was
we're
obsessed
talking
with.
About today? No. Yeah. So they're finishing what, I don't know if it's an official term, but people call it the sequel trilogy. Kind of a counterpart to the prequel trilogy. The sequel trilogy.
It's the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy,
yeah.
And now the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, guys.
What's wrong with that?
There's 9 movies. Can we not just call it something, the dodecahedron of movies? Anyway,
so
carry on.
This movie, this poor movie, it's it has to do a lot. It needs to be, a conclusion to the new trilogy. But the way they've marketed it is that they've said it's also a conclusion to, like, everything. To all the original trilogy and the prequels. Because if you watch the trailers for this, like, we're finishing everything. We're putting a stamp on it. But then it also follows The Last Jedi, which is, my gosh, I'm tired of hearing of that movie. People liked it. People hated it. Some people didn't care. And some people like me are tired of hearing about it. But it has to follow it regardless. And The Rise of Skywalker, I don't know. I don't think it's very good. To spoil the end of my review, I know people always ask me, what score did he give it? I'm going to just tell you. I gave it a 5.5 out of 10, 55%, which is slightly higher than what I gave The Last Jedi. I think I gave The Last Jedi a solid 5. The Rise of Skywalker has so many problems. I'm just going to run through them real quick so I'm not here the whole day. basically, it's the script. That's everything, hinges on the storyline and the dialogue. It's just not good. I felt like I was sleepwalking through this movie because I knew everything that was going to happen. And I'm not a clairvoyant. I've just seen movies before. And specifically, I've seen Star Wars movies before.
I have seen movies before.
And on the one hand, I could just tell you what happens. But on the other hand, that would be a spoiler. But not really, because you can divine it from thin air. It's so predictable. It's actually laughable. And a lot of people say that that's why they liked The Last Jedi, because it wasn't predictable. No, that movie was also predictable. It was just really dumb. And this movie's predictable and dumb. And again, I can't say what happens, but it's just bad guys have a MacGuffin. The good guys need their own MacGuffin to find it. And then along the way,
even bigger Death Stars.
I can't even tell you, but you're very close. But it's not. You actually see it in the trailer, what it is.
What?
You see in the trailer what the MacGuffin is, but the trailer doesn't exactly say what it is.
Okay, all right.
So I won't get into that. But anyway, and then while they're looking for these items, they meet each other, and then they have some fights. And then they leave in a hurry, and then they meet each other and have some fights. It's ridiculous. The Star Wars universe is supposed to be a universe, right?
Yeah.
It's the whole galaxy. You can skip around with light speed.
You can have like the Clone Wars going on
It feels like this movie takes place in a shopping center because the characters run into each other so often. And okay, in The Last Jedi, you see that like Kylo Ren and Rey can like speak to each other using the Force Skype or whatever it is. And then on top of that, there's other like technology-based things that explains why the First Order and the Rebels or the Resistance, whatever they're called now, can find each other so quickly. But I don't understand why they're stuck with that so hard. It feels like the two like forces are never apart. They're always meeting like to have a quick fight and then to separate again. It's ridiculous. And then, so the story's not good at all. The twists tries to do are just dumb. And then the dialogue is just, it's so bad. Listen, Star Wars has never been Shakespeare, right? But this movie's a new level of like cheesy. I think there's going to be some stuff in here, which is going to be the new, I don't like sand, it's coarse and rough and gets everywhere. It's just bad. I don't want to insult the filmmakers, but it's not good. It's not entertaining, it's very predictable, and it's very cheesy. And unfortunately, because the script is so bad, the actors, not their performances, but overall it suffers, and everyone's just kind of not flat, but they're just not believable.
I've got
two questions.
Yes.
The first is, are any of the action sequences at least decent? Are the lightsaber fights good? And the second one is, I always got the feeling that J.J. Abrams, who directed the first, the Force Awakens, was trying to correct what he didn't like about what Rian Johnson did in The Last Jedi.
That's sort of where my head was going. Is this not a product of the fact that you had Abrams and then Johnson trying to direct movies opposed to each other?
Yeah, you guys are right, and I blame this on J.J. because all the mystery boxes are his fault because he put them in the first movie, and he's like, someone else will deal with this. Because I can't remember who said it. I don't know if it was a leak or it was an official thing, but somebody involved said that when they started The Last Jedi, they just had no idea what to do because JJ didn't leave them a solid plan. He just left them some like cliff notes and ideas. And then the next filmmakers needed to come and just like turn that kindle into some kind of fire. You do feel that where, again, I don't want to spoil it, but it feels like some parts are retconned. And they're like, just forget that. Don't worry about that last movie. Sometimes it feels like you could go from The Force Awakens to this movie, and from inference, you could work out what happened in the last one, and you could just skip it. I wonder if I should actually try this when this comes out, like streaming and home media. Watch the first one, watch the third one, and see if I can leave out the middle part. But anyway, sorry, I was speaking about the performances before that. They're not convincing. No one's getting an Oscar for what was in here. My favorite character from the sequel trilogy, Kylo Ren, I thought it was really good. The whole premise of him as a character is great because in all the Star Wars media we've had before him, except for like expanded legend stuff, it was always, you have a good Jedi, they're the paragon of the light side of the Force, but they're getting tempted to the dark side. It's always that. But with Kylo Ren, we had the opposite. We had someone who's a dark side user, and they get tempted to the light side. And I thought that was fantastic, and I really love Adam Driver in this role. But in this movie, they just like waste him, basically. He doesn't do much.
Does he take his shirt off and become a white boy?
He doesn't take his shirt off. I was just thinking, at one point, it was funny. He was just wearing like a normal human T-shirt. It was quite funny. I was watching this like, is he just wearing like slacks and a t-shirt?
I honestly feel like his talents are wasted. Like, I know I'm going to get lambasted for this, but I feel like his talents are wasted in these films.
I think he was good in The Force Awakens.
But The Last Jedi, I just feel like he can do so much more than the directors are letting him do.
I really like the Kylo Ren character.
Like, Black Klansman is phenomenal. And he's really good. And he's really good in that. Yeah. So I just feel like his talents are being wasted.
To me, he's the best part of the trilogy, and then he didn't do much in this, and then his story ends on like a whimper. The story, the script, the characters aren't good. And another problem I had is a lot of the new characters and some of the returning ones, they just have so little to do that their entire role could have been replaced with a piece of paper. Because all they do is they inform the main cast about something, or they give the main cast something. So they could either be a piece of paper or an envelope with something in it. They do so little for the story. I really think a lot of these characters are just in here to sell toys. I said that about the Porgs in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
But at least it was just the Porgs.
Yeah.
Here we have a lot of characters which are just faffing about. It feels like the whole resistance is just like four people. Everyone else, I don't know what everyone else is doing. Refueling the X-Wings 24/7. What are they doing?
Tailoring Poe's jackets.
Poe looks like flipping Nathan Drake in this. He's wearing, for some reason, I don't know what you call them. It's one of those like big scarves. They have a special name. It's like a fashion accessory. Anyway, he's wearing a huge scarf. I think it might be that. It's
Afghan.
Why are you wearing this, my dude? Anyway, so I bring up Poe because he probably had the best performance in this. He was my favorite role in this last movie. But yeah, everyone else isn't really good. The only real standouts is it still looks good. It still looks like a Star Wars movie. It's still got the same music, but my lord, I'm tired of hearing the Imperial March. I'm tired of hearing the main Star Wars theme. I think they use them both like a dozen times throughout the movie, but like remixed, or they're playing it in the background. I'm like, I can hear it. Please, just stop.
We get it.
Play nothing. It's a Star Wars movie. Play something else. It just feels like we're going around in circles. I don't know what to say. This movie's still probably going to make a lot of money. I just hope Disney invests it, and then in 5 years when we get another one, they do something special for episode 10.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, this one started... When The Force Awakens came out, people were like, okay, that was pretty shaky, and it rehashed a lot of stuff. Mm. It's basically, I think it was like most of The New Hope.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's like, okay, maybe the next one will be good. Right? We got a shaky foundation, but it's a foundation nonetheless. Let's try build on it. And then The Last Jedi was like, nah. And then this is a result of it. It had a messy trilogy, and this is a messy conclusion. And I actually don't recommend it. If you're a very casual Star Wars fan, just wait for it to be on home media. If you're a Star Wars fan, maybe do the same, because it'll break your heart less. I don't think it's pretty good. Read my review. I go a bit more in depth than I just went into now. And I'm a bit less rambly, because I can edit out the rambles in the text. But yeah, that's Star Wars. Didn't like it.
So from Star Wars to something that actually really impressed me last night. While Clinton was being disappointed by Star Wars, I was being freaked out by a Netflix documentary. The documentary is called Don't F with Cats, Hunting an Internet Killer. So it's got nothing to do with cats, actually. The title centers around a supposed unwritten rule in the darkest corners of the internet that you don't mess with cats. Whatever, you can do anything, just do not mess with cats. So what is this about, right? So in 2012, a group of internet sleuths, I think that's a bit too far, but it's the best word to describe what they did, discovered a video of a titled Two Kittens, One Boy, or One Boy, Two Kittens, something to that effect. Where a guy basically put two kittens in a vacuum sealed bag and then switched on the vacuum and killed the cats and then posted the video online. It's very, very disturbing. So this documentary follows the events that unfolded thereafter, after the posting of this video. Centered around one man, his name is Luca Magnotta. I don't know, it's Italian. I don't speak Italian. Anyway, so it starts off with this gentleman basically torturing small animals in the most perverse ways imaginable. Thankfully, Netflix doesn't show you too much of this. There is enough to kind of infer what happens, and it will make you sick to your stomach, even though it is so edited. So if you are somebody that cares a lot about animals or you are a sensitive viewer, I don't recommend this. However, I do recommend this because it is a fascinating story. So once these videos started posting, this group of people on Facebook started to try and find out where he was. These people did the most insane stuff. You hear about this stuff, you don't actually think that people do it. They actually took the video frame by frame and analyzed it. Looked at what bedspread he was using, because they wanted to find out where this guy was. Looked at what bedspread he was using, tracked it down to a sale on eBay. They looked at the type of plugs that he was using, determined that they were in the US. They found the vacuum cleaner that he used and determined that you could only buy that model of vacuum cleaner in the US. Sealer. Vacuum cleaner.
That
Oh, so he didn't need a vacuum sealer.
No. He used it. So it's one of those big...
Reverse suction.
That sounds like when Shia LaBeouf made that flag that says he will not divide us, and he put it in a desert somewhere, and 4chan was able to find the flag.
Yeah.
And they divided it from planes that pass by, and then constellations in the sky, because it was a 24-hour live stream.
It's actually quite
insane.
It's actually quite crazy, because as they started to break down these videos, they actually started to pick up some really weird stuff, sort of like the stuff that you would see in like a movie like Seven, right? Where the killer is actually leaving behind clues so that you can catch him. So in the first video that the guy posts, there's Russian talking in the background. And everybody thought that this guy was in Russia now because there's Russian voices in the background. But as people listened to it over and over again, they heard a click and then the Russian voices stop.
oh, he had recorded it. There's so many of these little things that this guy drops throughout throughout his killing spree. He only murdered one person that I am aware of.
Only.
But, I mean, it was done in the most gruesome way possible. I don't want to go into it because this is not this podcast will kill you. This is the AfriCast, so I don't want to go too much into it. But it is absolutely fascinating how people on the internet found this guy, find out who he was, found his name, and then went to the authorities, and authorities just ignored them. Which I think is the scariest part.
Yeah, that is
appropriate. So, I mean, this was at a different time. This was in 2012. He was convicted in 2016, and he was caught in 2014, I believe.
I'm assuming he had to do, he only got caught because he actually murdered someone.
He murdered someone, yeah. And then he started taunting the police, and the police went after him. Interpol chased him. He was always one step ahead of them. One of the main inspirations that, people cited for this whole thing that he did was Catch Me If You Can, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie with Tom Hanks.
Slightly different. That guy was writing bad checks.
Bad checks, yeah. I mean, murder, bad checks. Yeah, I don't see how the link is. But essentially what he wanted to do is he wanted to play a game. And it's just, as I watched, it's only three episodes, but I sat there watching this and I'm like, this is fake. This cannot be real. But then you've got like Justin Trudeau talking and you've got like actual people from the real world and you go and look this guy up and he is real. He is in prison.
So, Brendan, I want to ask you, when you say it's a documentary, is it a straight-laced documentary or is it one of those ones with reenactments?
There is no reenactment. So okay. they've actually got the videos, which you cannot find online easily. You can still find them. They used video footage from the videos that he posted. And yeah, there's no reenactment or anything. They literally use video footage from security cameras where he was staying, how they caught him. There's video from his interrogation, which is very interesting. It's just the level of psychopath that this guy was it's just incredible to me. Like it's on a level that I would compare to like somebody like Charlie Manson, like that level of socio-psychopath. It's incredibly well produced and the story will just have you going, what the hell? If you can't stomach animal abuse, I would say skip those parts if you can. But I think it is absolutely worth a viewing, mainly because I think in this day and age, we are very quick to jump on people online and persecute them for something. And throughout this documentary, there is an instance where an internet mob went after somebody and that person actually committed suicide. So I think it's very important that a lot of people watch this and understand the repercussions of what you do online echo into the real world. It's very good, and I think that it's this docuseries showcases something that, or it kind of cements something that has been in the back of my mind for a long time this year, is that Netflix's original content is getting really good. And I'm not talking here just like the long-running series, like your Orange is the New Black and that sort of stuff. I'm talking about like the films and the documentaries, the stuff that they produce originally. I mean, we had Firefest, which was very well done. I mean, questionable that F. Jerry had a hand in this production, but it was a very good telling of what happened with Firefest. We had The Spy, which starred Sacha Baron Cohen, which I thought was brilliant. Showed the actor in a way that I've never seen him before. One of the other really great documentaries that was released this year was The Great Hack, which is all about Facebook and the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And that was done magnificently in a way that even my mom could understand. To kind of give people an idea of what was actually going on in that whole situation, because it was rather confusing.
The Rick and Yoga one was actually quite good as well.
Yeah. Also, Love, Death and Robots. The fifth season of Black Mirror. We've got The Witcher, which lands tomorrow.
We're talking about Adam Driver. Marriage Story as well with him and Scott.
Yeah.
It's also very good.
Brilliant. There's The Irishman. I haven't watched it yet. I've heard good things. I don't have 10 days to watch it. That's why I'm saving it for the break.
I'm going to watch it on my Nintendo DS in 20 installments, just as he intended.
They had a Christmas movie called Klaus, which was really, really awesome. You could watch it for free. And then there was, of course, El Camino, the Breaking Bad film, which I thought was really well done as a sort of, here's an end to Breaking Bad that has nothing to do with Walter White. So that was brilliant. Stranger Things just continues to get better. There's just so much good content on Netflix nowadays. I do wonder how other people are going to cope. But then you look at Amazon and they've got Good Omens. And then you got Disney Plus with The Mandalorian. Like, original content, I think, has moved away from this straight to DVD style stuff to something that's really got a high production value, and I think Netflix is really leading that charge. There's an original movie landing in January, actually, that looks very, very interesting, called Messiah. That looks fantastic. Another season of Titans, another season of I Am Killer, Queen Sono is coming in February. Like, all these Netflix originals are just they're really knocking it out of the park. And I think that if you are looking for something to do this holiday, get a month-long trial for Netflix and test it out and watch some of the stuff. I don't think you will be disappointed. Clinton, you want to say something?
The last season of Titans is not good.
Is it not good?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a matter of – that's a subjective matter, Clinton. But yeah, so Don't F with Cats is brilliant. It is very disturbing, but I highly recommend it. If you're looking for something to watch, just skip over the parts that make you a bit uneasy. I will say something that's very weird, and I've spoken to a couple of people this morning that watched it. And like, the thing that disturbed me was less the murder of the human and more the murder of the animals. I think, I don't know why, but it just kind of, there's this sort of, the animal is helpless, the human might be able to fight back. It's just really weird. It's just very well shot, very well directed. It's really good. Don't F with Cats. It's out now on Netflix. And yeah, that's it for me. But we are now going to cross over to Kyocera.
Yes.
Is that how you say it correctly? Kyocera.
Sure. Why not?
Because I know Kyocera.
I say Kyocera.
Okay, Kyocera.
I got a chance to chat to Nancy Mayer, who is the Business Development Director at Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. And we're actually talking about document management, which doesn't sound like the sexiest thing, but we're actually talking about it within the lens of 4IR. I know we don't like talking about 4IR at the moment, but it was quite an interesting take, because a lot of the time we're hearing government talk about a lot of grandiose ideas when it comes to 4IR.
Yeah.
And Kyocera's kind of take of it is more grounded.
Yeah.
And kind of more simplistic, and just in terms of how document solution management is just an easy way to kind of make the most of 4IR. So yeah, that was kind of what we discussed. And yeah, hope you enjoy.
Cool. We'll be right back.
No matter what document management challenges the customer might face, Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa has the answers. By putting our knowledge and expertise to work, our clients can capture, organize, and share information securely through the combination of an award-winning range of device technology and business software. The constant exploration of new ways to use data to drive innovation ensures competitive advantage within the business. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or email info@dza.kyocera.com or visit www.kyoceradocumentsolutions.co.za.
Hi, this is Robin Lichetti reporting for Hypertext, and joining me today is Nancy Mayer. Nancy is the Development Director at Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa, and our topic of discussion today is document management within the lens of 4IR. Before we get into the topic today, Nancy, thanks again for joining us. And I wonder if you could perhaps kind of go through your role here at Kyocera, what you're overseeing.
My name is Nancy. I'm the new business development director at Kyocera, and I look after all new business, be it new channels of doing business, new products into existing markets, and reviving old markets for which, for some reason, we have exited and now have a new focus on.
Perfect. So that's obviously very important work for the actual company itself that you're overseeing.
It's quite important to keep up with new developments in the market. It's the only way we can stay relevant.
Perfect. And I guess that kind of segues quite nicely into our topic today. Obviously, we're looking through the lens of 4IR. It's something that has been talked about at length in 2019. The presidency in particular has highlighted it as an important area of focus for the country. A number of committees have been put together investigating the kind of areas and to be focused on what needs to be done for the country to be viable when it comes to 4IR. I was perhaps wondering first if I could get Kyocera's take, or perhaps even your take, on 4IR, its value, and what role it could play for South Africa moving forward.
Okay, so I find it quite interesting that people speak about 4IR, about something they have an opinion on, but it's actually not something that you have an opinion on. It's something that is happening despite your opinion. And I think for me, the things that I have learned, having undertaken this journey in the company itself, where I work, we always aim to eat our own vegetables. Sure. Is that it's a journey, and small steps, small incremental steps lead you in the right direction. You don't have to sprint. You can choose the areas where to start. And I think we speak about it like it's a burden. It's something that we push to do, but it's actually beneficial. It's beneficial immediately, not just in the long run. We see immediate benefits in customer satisfaction, employee happiness, efficiency, cost cutting. So it's quite beneficial. But I think the most underrated thing about it is the data that you can develop. And there's a lot of data that tells you not just about what you're doing, but how you're doing it. And that creates a good premise for improvement.
Yeah, you mentioned quite a bit there. One of the interesting things you mentioned initially was the different stages of 4IR. I mean, depending on who you're asking, some people might say we're on the cusp of 4IR. Some people might say it's already happening. Some people might say it's a few years into the future. So would it be right in thinking that Kyocera's take on it is that it's currently happening?
It is definitely currently happening. And we don't have to think of it in the most complex form,
sure,
which is robots walking into a restaurant and serving you drinks. I think anything to do with machine-to-machine communication is already for IR.
Perfect. And I mean, that kind of brings us into our point of the discussion. A document solution, document management, that might seem not necessarily a core for our focus, but for Kyocera it is, I'm assuming.
So when we speak about documents, we have to step back and sure. say, what did we do before documents? We wrote in caves. So if you follow that thread, then you find that we always had content. The form in which we communicated in or stored or shared just varied with the different technologies. So I think when we look at ourselves, we follow the content and not necessarily the document. And what is changing and what we see changing in the landscape is changing is how that is handled. The regulations around that, the risks have changed in the way technology has brought into handling of that document and the content. And that is where we get excited.
Perfect. And you mentioned content there, and I guess we're talking about data now. You also touched on regulation, things like GDPR, Poppy, that we're hoping is going to come into effect soon. What are those kinds of regulatory concerns going to mean for businesses moving forward, and how can something like document management tackle those kind of elements?
So we like to think we've become very lean, but we're actually a hoarding society. If you look at an individual, the amount of data you hold, I'm a parent myself. And I mean, I hold data that used to be the equivalent of running a medium-sized organization a couple of years ago. So we're a hoard society, and that is creating risk for us in terms of Poppy, in that if you're caught with data that you shouldn't be having in the first place, you are going to be in a lot of trouble if that data is leaked. So the cleanup initiatives, automation will make sure that we see the life cycle of a document in a way that is automated. We can't always rely on human beings to remember. So that whole cradle to grave management is where it gets exciting.
Perfect. And I mean, you're touching on some of the elements that those in the boardroom will be thinking about, but say for the employee, what kind of value does something like document management play in terms of kind of looking at 4IR and how, and that lens?
So I think for the employee, the employment space is changing, including working from a distance. And I think the employee will be interested in not just collaborating with their fellow employees that's working in remote workplaces, but the coordination of it. So if you're required to take over a task once someone has completed it, you will be interested in how that coordination is going to be happening so that your work is easier. So that's kind of where the whole less friction of changing workplaces is where the employee happiness, that's where the employee would be interested.
Perfect. And I'm assuming that this is something that Kyocera is finding in its own workplace. Given that it specializes in document management, these are kind of processes that you guys have been putting in place. And I'm assuming that there are benefits that you've been finding.
There is a lot of benefit that we've been finding in that the processes are faster. And just because people work remotely doesn't mean things have to slow down or we have to wait for the people. But it's also improving our own work culture in terms of realizing what we did before that really didn't have meaning and things that we set aside that have meaning. So it changes how you approach work in terms of what is, with 8 or 9 hours in a day, what's important to do and what's not important to do. What can you delegate? What can you not do altogether? What needs to move faster? What needs to move more meaningfully? So that kind of process information we're getting from these tools.
Perfect. Then I guess shifting the discussion slightly, you've spoken about the enterprise or businesses. What kind of value do you think proper document management or document solutions will play in the government sphere or public sphere?
In the public sphere, I think we're serving people, and in most instances, the most vulnerable of people. We need to be more deliberate in how we serve those people. So one thing that helps is data. So if we have, for instance, a way to get the services closer to them, we can have data about the impact of that. We can do and undo things and tweak things to be even more meaningful and efficient. So I think that is one way the government can benefit in developing that data itself, in how it communicates with the people that it serves. So that gets easier to communicate. Planning. The data helps with planning. So think about rolling out medication or rolling out different programs, knowing where to start, knowing what kind of resistance in culture you can have, proper change management in those areas. And so you can treat groups of people as almost like individuals. So that is the benefit I see government getting out of this.
Perfect. And I mean, taking, I guess, a slightly more cynical view of things, just like the number of committees that were started with YR, what's Kyocera's view in terms of government actually getting these kinds of plans and initiatives in place and getting them working for people in the country?
There's definitely a desire.
Sure.
We've seen a desire. There will be difficulties that will have to be overcome. But I think with this desire, there's always a way. But we've also seen the uptake on the government side. We've seen, in terms of printing, we've seen monitoring of print and managed print environments, which we didn't see before in treasury-like contracts. And building onto that, we're seeing a request for enterprise content management, moving from old mainframes to green graphic user interface. So as we go on, we're seeing the young generation getting into the workplace. The young generation is already used to this way of working. So there is no getting away. If we're going to attract talent, including government has to fight for talent in the market. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to create an environment that people want to work in.
Perfect. I guess my next kind of question is just around what Kyocera is doing. In terms of actually engaging with government, is Kyocera having those kinds of conversations? And if so, are they yielding anything at the moment?
We definitely are in there. We're very interested in what the government is doing, not only because it's our business, but because we're part of the communities in which this government serves. So any way we can help in terms of making the work of government easier, making it more efficient, will have a direct impact on our employees because the government does serve those employees in other spheres. So yes, we're working with them on the journey And our focus has been in mapping that journey for them so that they can see the work in terms of small size, bite sizes, as opposed to this monstrous for IR that's near unmanageable.
Yeah, sure. Right. You mentioned journeys. I guess looking at KSA's journey, in particular looking at 2020, are there perhaps things on the horizon that you'd like to mention or perhaps can give us a little insight into?
It gets exciting as you follow the technology. We're getting more technology, but it's not really about the technology. Kyocera is also a lot about people.
Sure.
So we're working on increasing our offering for change management. We're working on following the document around the security of that document. We're working with various suppliers of security management software around the document as well. And we will continue to follow the content and the collaboration and how it's shared and how it's stored, should it be stored. So the conversation has just started and we're very excited about it.
That's great to hear. Right, that's going to bring us to a close. Are there perhaps any closing thoughts you'd like to end with?
I think what people talk about when they speak about 4IR, they speak a lot about humans losing jobs. And the truth is, when it comes to machines and humans, there are things that human beings do very well, and there are things that machines do very well. And the focus should be on that collaboration. You can get a lot out of that collaboration if you get it right.
Yeah, by augmenting your workforce.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. Thanks again for your time, Nancy. We really appreciate it. We will link to Kyocera at the bottom of this podcast. You can then check out all the solutions they have in terms of document management, document services, and all those good things. So thanks again to Nancy. Yeah.
Thank you.
That'll do us. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that that interview, Robin. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
it was rather interesting. Didn't think that document solutions would be interesting, but here we are. Right, so that's going to do it from us for this year then.
Yeah, not just the week.
Yeah, not just the week.
Yeah.
Damn. 2019 has been a slog, but it's over now. Thank you very much to all of you for listening to us. Everybody that does listen, if nobody listens to us, this is falling on deaf ears. But thank you very much for staying with us this year. And next year, there will be some new exciting stuff. Hopefully no 4IR. So for myself, for this year and this decade, cheerio from Robin Chetty.
Cheers.
And from Clinton Matos.
Happy New Year.
Oh my gosh. Cheers, everybody.
Optimize your business efficiency and streamline your workflows with Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. Get all the rewards with brilliant benefits such as complete cost transparency and savings of up to 30%, increased productivity and employee motivation, professional and customized document solutions that saves you manpower, improved environmental and sustainability management, and improved monitoring and protection of data and documents. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or email info@dza.kyocera.com or visit www.kyocera-documentsolutions.co.za.